Please join in the prayer for illumination. Loving God, anoint us with your Holy Spirit as we hear your word this day. Fill us with your truth that we may walk in the ways of God and to the glory of your realm. Amen. Our scripture reading today is from 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 1 through 9. Brothers and sisters, I couldn't talk to you like spiritual people, but like unspiritual people, like babies in Christ. I gave you milk to drink instead of solid food because you weren't up to it yet. Now you are still not up to it because you are still unspiritual. When jealousy and fighting exist between you, aren't you unspiritual and living by human standards? When someone says, I belong to Paul, and someone else says, I belong to Apollos, aren't you acting like people without the Spirit? After all, what is Apollos? What is Paul? They are servants who helped you to believe. Each one had a role given to them by the Lord. I planted, Apollos watered, but God made it grow. Because of this, neither the one who plants nor the one who waters is anything, but the only one who is anything is God who makes it grow. The one who plants and the one who waters work together, but each one will receive their own reward for their own labor. We are God's co-workers, and you are God's field, God's building. The word of God for the people of God.
Thank our sister in Christ for sharing those words of truth that can be trusted. Thank you, my friend. She's also a phenomenal liturgist because she has the hymnal marked with the next hymn for her pastor. So I don't have to be looking through this. No pressure on the rest of our liturgists. I just wanted to go ahead and throw that out there. Let's pray. Join with me in prayer. Lord, we want to thank you for this day, and we're grateful for your word of truth. Thank you for how it comes into our lives and speaks into our journey. Thank you for your grace behind it all, and through it all, and in it all. It's in the name of our Savior that we pray. Amen. You know, I've talked to you about bumper sticker faith. You can drive around and looking at the bumper sticker in front of you, sometimes it basically speaks of their faith. But as I was walking around the yard sale, I noticed a whole nother kind of faith, a theology. It's t-shirt theology. And it's what people have on their t-shirt. Some of which I can't share in worship, but some of which I can. These are just a couple that struck me. Let me drop everything and handle your problem. It's 5 o'clock somewhere. And then one that really struck me was Christian under construction. I like that. I like that a lot. Now, certainly, because we have that on a t-shirt, does that mean that we're actually doing it or opening ourselves to God's grace? No. What's most important is what's happening on the inside, but I'd like to believe that the person who is wearing that t-shirt was acknowledging the fact that we're always in process. We never arrive. Well, we do, once we're in glory with God in heaven, but until then, it is always a process, and I would encourage us, first of all, to stop kicking ourselves along the way. To stop beating ourselves up along the way. To simply be open to God's grace. Understand that God is the one who's doing it. And while we may falter and get it wrong and screw up, in fact, we will. Sorry to have to share that bad news with all of you. We will screw it up. As we're open to God, God never stops working. The process never quits. And my friends, that is truly a word of hope this morning. We never come to a dead end with God. We never do. because God's grace is always washing over us, filling us, and sustaining us. That's a hope I know I count on. It's a hope that I open myself to each and every day. You know, there's a brother in Christ that shares that the one thing that he remembers that I said while he was here and his family was here, and they were military family, so they were moved. The one thing that he remembers me saying is, if it's up to Neil, he will screw it up every single time. So at one point, I'm honored and humbled at the same time. You know what I mean? But it is true. And I will say that once again today. If it's up to Neil, Neil's going to screw it up each and every time. But if it's up to God, God is the one who is the author of life. God is the one who is the creator of all things. God is the one who first breathed life into us and continues to be at work in our lives. So if it's up to God, that is the path that we are called to follow. One of the things that Paul is communicating to the early church is that he's been giving them things that are easily digestible. Now, for those of you who are milk intolerant, dairy intolerant, I understand milk is the image. But what he's saying is, I've been giving you something that babies normally are fed because you really weren't ready for something more substantial. You weren't going to be able to handle a more challenging reality and truth. And I believe Paul is saying that for two reasons. One is, the Corinthian church was in disarray, and he always wanted to try to be as graceful as possible in communicating how they were screwing up. How do you communicate to somebody gracefully that they're screwing up, by the way? Do you just look at them right in the eyes and just smile with a big dorky grin? You're really screwing up. Not you personally. I'm just, thank you for sitting there and receiving that. But, you know, how do you do that? Paul tried, and sometimes was more graceful than others, and grace-filled and graceful. But other times he was like a hammer right between the eyes. The church is no different today. There are those that certainly love to hear platitudes and like to be stroked and like to be encouraged. And yet at some point, there needs to be a challenge that's put down as well. A challenge that we can do better. A challenge that we can stretch ourselves. A challenge that there is more that we can actually give and offer. We're not doing it yet because we are not fully trusting God yet. Understand what I said. We're not fully trusting God yet. Now, is this for all of us? Absolutely. Because there's always going to be times whenever we take the reins again, you know, in our lives. Okay, God, thank you. I've really screwed up. I need your help. Here are the reins. Take over. Okay, I got it again, God. I'm great. That's the pastor riding the horse. I'm sorry for that scene that you had to see there. I'm really sorry. It's not the most pleasant thing. Sacrifice for choir. But, you know, okay, God, yeah, I'm off on the wrong path, then we take it back again. Now, Paul, in this letter to the Corinthians, I would say this is the bottom line of the message. Don't make me your focus. Don't make any other leader that has inspired you, that you maybe even love, your focus either. Put your focus and your complete trust in God and God alone. Certainly, can people inspire us and encourage us and help us? Yeah, absolutely. No question about it. But is it God who is behind all of that, encouraging that? No question. And that is what we're doing when we're taking in the meat, if you will, okay? The more substantial food of our faith. Whenever we're learning to take that in and receive it completely and fully, and know that that's what we actually need to sustain our lives, our journey, our walk with God. Getting beyond the things that just simply make us feel good to truly trusting, following God, becoming disciples in the name of Jesus Christ. That's oftentimes challenging work. Sometimes very hard work as well. To get out of the way and allow God to lead. Can we do it? Absolutely. Can we do it as a church? Yes. No question about it. If we couldn't, then why are we here together right now? We can do it. Paul has already mentioned to the church at Corinth, which was really screwed up. Okay? You will not hear that term screwed up in the Bible necessarily in that language. Well, maybe you will, one of the paraphrases that comes out now. But that's what it was. And Paul was saying to them already, you already have all of the gifts that you need, okay, individually. Different people who are talented in different ways. Okay, think about the talents that you have. And if you don't think you have any talents, meet me right here after worship. We're going to have a come to Jesus meeting. And I'm going to talk to you about some of the talents that I know that you have. Okay, or we can make an appointment and talk about that. Every one of us has talents. Every one of us has a way that God is working through us. Okay, Paul had already said that to the church. Moving on now. Paul had said that unless we somehow seek to work together and encourage one another and about being building up of one another, it's not going to work. You know, all those talents are just going to be these isolated kind of asteroids flying around in space. All right, we have to work together. And now what is he saying? Okay, as we grow, as we learn as the church, sometimes it's going to be kind of tough because we're going to have to trust. We're going to have to be vulnerable. We're going to have to be naked before God and know that God always has the best in mind for us. You know, the church does not belong to a culture surrounding it or to the marketplace. It doesn't even belong to particular theologians or particular denominational confessions. Certainly, things come out from different denominations saying, this is a belief, this is a way that we're heading, but the church doesn't belong to a particular denomination. The church belongs to God. The church is God's. The only reason this place is here is because of the grace of God. God at work, certainly, through individuals putting in a lot of hard work and effort and prayer, right, and finances, certainly. But it is still God who creates, builds, and pulls together. The church is called to see in and through, and sometimes despite of the workers in the church, that God is the one who is bringing growth, maturity, and the full flowering of the seed that has been planted through the preaching and the living of the gospel. Now, this whole idea of seeds and planting, believe it or not, I at one time was not a bad gardener. Not bad. Not good, but not bad. It was in Johnstown, Pennsylvania. And the particular place that we lived, in the backyard, it had been flooded numerous times. So I can't really claim any secret to it. That soil was so rich and fertile that you could have just dropped a seed anywhere and something good would have grown. So it wasn't really me, was it? But it was tilling up and planting, and we had tomatoes like you would not believe. And aren't tomatoes back east so much better than tomatoes in Arizona? Sorry, I just needed to. That really has nothing to do with Paul, but I just kind of popped into my mind. You know, I'm just so tired of getting these things that are hard and yellow. Anyways, that's my own issue. But these tomatoes were just fantastic and wondrous, delicious, and you had so many of them. Now, you know, I had to remember that certainly, it wasn't me. It was God who provided everything that was needed, literally everything that was needed. But certainly that work was required to go ahead and plant and trim and take care of and nurture. Anybody who's a gardener, has ever had a garden, has ever grown anything, understands what that's all about. Care, effort, energy, those things are required by God's church. Not just showing up on Sunday, but actually praying for the church, praying for the leadership, praying for all of those who are involved, and stepping forward out of our comfort zones from time to time to realize that it's something that's placed on us as well to participate more fully. As a church, together. One of the things that I was not pleased with at Homestead Avenue United Methodist Church, whenever I was the pastor there, and this also gets back to what Paul is talking about concerning icons and people becoming icons, is they had a particular beautiful cabinet there, glassed, that had photos of all of the former pastors. As a pastor, I can tell you, I think that's a waste of space. Because what can sometimes happen, being very blunt with you here, is that that becomes something that's worshipped. Almost a mascot, if you will. And Paul is very clear here. It's not about me, it's not about Apollos, it's about God. It's not about me, it's not about Apollos, it's about God. Certainly, you can have relationships with a pastor that are meaningful, hopefully helpful, hopefully encouraging. But whenever I left there, Johnstown, they kept bugging me, give us a photo to be able to put in that display. Guess what? We drove out of town and I never did. Now, I understand they found one someplace, you know, so they put one in anyways. But I'll leave here also without leaving a photo for that wall. So who knows what people are going to find once I leave here and put something up on that wall. Who knows? I have no idea. How is God the focus of our work and our effort together? It should never be about personality. It should never be about a cult of personality. It should always be about God at work and also us being cross-shaped in our effort and our energies. Think about Jesus, okay, as someone to follow, all right, as an example. Was he a servant? Did he offer it all for something much greater? What was that last pose that he had on earth? How did we see him before the resurrection? What was that last way that we saw him? As those who claim his name, what is the form that we should take also? Should we be servants? Should we look beyond ourselves? Should we be humble? Should we be forgiving? Should we be loving? The answer to all of those is yes. In us doing that hard work, because that's not easy, is it, sometimes? Remember, beloved. It's not easy. Sometimes it's a great challenge. People have told me more than one, leaving this parking lot on Sunday sometimes tests their faith more than anything else. Waving at people, people pretending they don't see you, gotta get out of here. That hard work is something that we're not alone in. Humility, forgiveness, understanding when we've done something wrong, approaching that person just simply saying, I'm sorry. In other words, following the example of Christ, loving in a vulnerable way. That we don't worry about how much we're offering out. We know that God is going to be there with us on the journey. And if God has forgiven us, we are forgiven. We're called to live in that way. Cross-shaped way. Not following anybody except Jesus. How are you challenged to do that right now? Okay? Think about what's challenging you. Think about maybe what's even challenged you this past week. Were your faith, were you slipped up? Take that to God in this time of discipleship right now in prayer. Just offer it to Him and say, Lord, I'm trusting in You completely. I'm trusting in You. Knowing Your love will help me to be truly cross-shaped in my faith. And as I grow and as those times of challenge come my way that really stretch me in my faith, I know You're going to be with me. Henry Nouwen, who was a renowned theologian, author, priest, often spoke about his journey to L'Arche. And L'Arche was a community that specialized in helping people who could not be helped otherwise. Nouwen was assigned to work with Adam, a 24-year-old. Nouwen was a world-renowned speaker and author. And Adam was a 24-year-old epileptic man who could not speak or dress himself. Nouwen was a university professor who was far more comfortable with matters of the head than of the heart. Now he was assigned to the task of bathing and dressing a grown man. Over time, and I love this statement, fear gave way to something new. This is Nouwen. Somehow I started to realize that this poor broken man was the place where God was speaking to me in a whole new way. Gradually I discovered real affection in myself, and I thought that Adam and I belonged together and that it was so important. I want you to understand a little better what happened between Adam and me. Maybe I can say it very simply. Adam taught me a lot about God's love in a very concrete way. I would say concrete and cross-shaped. How is God challenging you to trust Him more? How is God stretching you? What worthwhile but difficult work is God doing in you right now to better be His church? Join with me in prayer.